Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Fridge Air Purifier. Extend the life of your food and get rid of those bad odors for good. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and save $10 with code HOWIEFRESH.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show, and a happy Tuesday to everybody out there. Right now, a lot of these mainstream networks are running with the January 6th hearings. I don't see it. But then again, before I started the show, I said to Jared, you know, keep an eye on it, but I'm not expecting much.
It's been wildly entertaining.
I did not realize that Adam Schiff was going to, you know, do his little hammy actor thing. We saw him do this during one of the impeachments where he made up the transcript of the phone call between Trump and the Ukraine guy. He was kind of like embellishing and he said, oh, you know, I'm reading between the lines. It was very mob-like. So he definitely is a flair for the dramatic, but I did not see the fake tears coming. I did not predict that. And joining us now, who I'm sure has plenty to say about this, I have a feeling he's not a huge Adam Schiff guy, Jerry Callahan joins the show. Jerry, thanks so much for coming on.
Hi, Grace. You would be right. Adam Schiff is just loathsome. I know he's a Framingham guy, but here's a guy, as you know, who spent literally 3 years promising proof of collusion between Russia and Trump, promising he had it and was going to show it. Every single time he said that, Grace, he was lying. He was lying his ass off, and for some reason, there is no price to pay for that. You still are in Congress. You still get to sit there under oath and say whatever you want. It's amazing that the guy has any credibility left with anybody.
No, you're absolutely right. And Jerry, normally I don't do this with guests because I don't want to bore you guys. But for the sake of the audience, I do think we need to listen to this cut. This is so painful. Adam Schiff is trying to make himself cry. And I think it says something about our society and our culture that people think this makes them look good, is like crying on camera. We see this all the time with people. It's like this virtue signaling moment of, oh, hold on, I got to go off script. I'm crying. And it's just so they're overblowing this 1/6 thing to such a degree. I want Jerry to react. Here is Adam Schiff in his Oscar-worthy performance today at these hearings.
And God help us. And if we're so driven by bigotry and hate that we attack our fellow citizens as traitors, if they're born in another country or they don't look like us, and God help us. But I have faith because of folks like you.
Oh my gosh. Is he going to get a Profiles and Courage Award? That was so painful.
This was a guy who you can go look it up. I'm sure I'm right on this, but said very little, had very little condemnation for the hundreds of nights of rioting and looting in Los Angeles, where he represents his own district. I'm sure there was some damage done, and he didn't cry, I don't think, over that. He didn't cry when they attacked the White House, forcing Trump into the bunker, when they set fire on the security booth outside the White House. And shot off explosives and just damaged, broke things. Not a tear from Adam Schiff, but a Viking man made his way into the Senate chambers, and suddenly he's inconsolable. It's so transparent. I'm thinking, Grace, I don't know about you. I'm thinking this may backfire because it is so melodramatic between the Capitol Police there, Fanon, whatever his name is, with the tattoos and the beard. And Schiff and Kinziger, there's just so much drama here. I'm not sure it's going to work.
Yeah, it looks like I'm watching A Few Good Men on Fox right now with all these people. Like, they're so serious. And I'm glad you brought up the backfiring, but I just want to say, you mentioned Viking Man. I guess the point for Adam Schiff, the breaking point where the tears start flowing, is when someone puts their feet up on Nancy Pelosi's desks and writes her a mean note. That just, he can't handle that kind of awfulness. But Jerry, I'm glad you brought up whether or not this is going to backfire, because we know that the Democrats go from crisis to crisis, and they're not subtle about it either. But I just talked to my sister, and she's, you know, a young 20-something, and she's not too heavily invested into politics. And I said, I have a question for you. Do your friends, what's your friend's number one political issue? And she said, I don't know. We don't talk politics. And I said, all right, well, let me be more specific. Do any of your friends talk about January 6th? Is this something that's like haunting people? I need to know. And she said, no, they don't. So I just don't even think that this is going to, you know, attract a lot of viewers. When we had the Brett Kavanaugh hearings, that got people on both sides going. People were paying attention to it. But I really don't believe, Jerry, that anyone's even watching this stuff.
No, and I mean, they know. The Democrats operate on emotion. You know that. And this is right up their alley. They get to fake cry, and they get to talk about, you know, these terrorists potentially overthrowing the government. And I always ask, you know, how would that have worked? Would we have installed Viking Man as our new president? Would he be God King, our new dictator? The idea that these hooligans and trespassers and vandals were going to overthrow the government and they're terrorists, even though, you know, nobody died except Ashley Babbitt, is just such over the top rhetoric that I'm not sure anybody legitimately buys it. You know, the Democrats who did not care what BLM and Antifa were terrorizing the country did not care. In fact, supported it, you know, bailed them out. Those people can't suddenly turn around and say that this uprising is just it's just the biggest threat to democracy since whatever, the Civil War. It's just, it's too over the top.
I'm speaking with Jerry Callahan. Everyone should check out his podcast wherever you get your podcast from. I think a big thing what I'm noticing with these Democrats and these experts is that I think Stephen Miller puts it well on Twitter. He says they're void of shame, like they're incapable of feeling any shame. And I think a perfect example of that, Jerry, is Dr. Fauci. So he was on with Jake Tapper this weekend. I know you talked about it on your podcast today, but he also, he's being, you know, he's included in those very special private meetings about whether or not the CDC should bring back masks. And it's looking more and more like today they're going to announce that you have to wear masks indoors again. What's your take on that?
And kids have to wear masks in school. I can feel the tension in Walmart already, Grace. Just think of what's coming. There's going to be people demanding others wear masks, even though they're vaccinated and don't, you know, feel the need to wear a mask. We're about to see just a whole barrage of these videos from people's phones in Walmart or in the grocery store or whatever, on the subway, people yelling at each other, fighting. This is because of Fauci, insisting kids wear masks or kids get vaccinated, which is absurd. It's just creating such a divide. There is just, I mean, we always talk about red states, blue states. This is the masked versus the unmasked right now. The ones who want to lock everything down versus the ones who never want to do that again. I just find it amazing, Grace, as I said, that Fauci, we know, sent money to the Wuhan lab, which created this virus, perhaps as a bioweapon for our biggest adversary. We paid for it. He lied about it. Even the Washington Post admitted he lied. Rand Paul told the truth. How is he still on the job, still making big decisions, still doing interviews with his buddy Jake? At some point, he loses all credibility. I feel like I'm repeating myself because it should have happened with Adam Schiff, too. But how do Schiff and Fauci and Andrew Cuomo have any credibility left? We know what kind of scoundrels and liars they are. Why does anyone listen to them anymore?
Yeah, and I think that's why so many people right now, there's some great pieces out there about how Americans are angrier right now than they ever have been. And I get that, because you do feel like nothing ever happens. Like, we had the emails from Fauci and all these scientists. We know he lied. We know he's a proven liar. He admitted that he lied to us about herd immunity and masking, and still nothing happens. He's put up in the green room at CNN and MSNBC and all as well. But I'm glad you brought up the mask versus the unmasked, Jerry, because I think you'll appreciate this. I'm getting married, hopefully, you know, if they don't, Charlie Baker doesn't change his mind, in November. So I have a personal stake in a lot of these stories. And Howie will tell you, I'm like on it every single day. And I said to my sister the other day, I said, I just want to warn you, if they mess this up again, I'm going to be the woman in CVS who's being recorded and has to get like tased because I won't put a mask on. Like, you know how there's always those few people and you think to yourself, oh gosh, I'm not going to go that far. At this point, I think a lot of people have to stand up and say, we're not doing this anymore.
But I think you're right. We're going to see people get arrested or getting thrown out of stores or restaurants or airports or planes because they just are fed up. They're at their breaking point. Everyone has a breaking point. And I think with this new order, a lot of people got much, much closer to their breaking point. I want to hear Charlie Baker say that you have to have the circles on the dance floor. You know, they had those for a while. You have a circle on the dance floor, and you can't slow dance. You have to only stay within your circle and fast dance. I want him to bring that back so Grace Curley can go completely.
Yeah, I'll be getting tasered at the CVS, and you'll be very happy about it. Jerry, I have to ask you a couple quick questions here. Simone Biles, news broke today that she's not going to be competing anymore. It's a mental issue. I saw some of your tweets on it. I thought you felt kind of similar to how I do, but there's mixed reviews about this and whether or not she made the right call.
I know one of my favorites, Matt Walsh, is killing her and us for feeling sympathy, and he just tweeted something that if Tom Brady quit on his team in the Super Bowl, he wouldn't get any support. I'm sorry, Matt Walsh and others. It's not the same. Simone Biles is an abused woman, not emotionally, not just emotionally and mentally, sexually abused. She's 4'8". They don't let these girls go through puberty. They are raised like veal to become world champion gymnast. And we just said everyone has their breaking point. And I think they put so much pressure on these women that she just reached, you know, that breaking point. And I don't look at her like Tom Brady or even Michael Phelps. I don't think their other athletes are abused like gymnasts, particularly when, you know, Dr. Larry Nassar was on the job. So I have some sympathy that she's having some kind of breakdown.
Yeah.
It's a brutal way to, you know, compete, a brutal lifestyle for these girls.
But Jerry, I think that's why people really enjoy listening to you in general, is because even if you are conservative and we get kind of angry about the same things, you know, it's okay sometimes to take a different side and say, hey, you know, she's a young woman. She's been through a lot. It's a lot of pressure. Every single person on the globe is calling her the GOAT at all times. I mean, I see it the same way. I'm like, geez, does everyone's knee jerk have to be terrible to people? It's kind of strange. Speaking of Tom Brady, though, the NFL is having a lot of issues with this vaccine. A lot of players are not liking the idea of being fined or their teams being punished for their decision not to get the vaccine. I guess my question, Jerry, is do you think Tom Brady got the vaccine?
Absolutely not. I would be shocked if he did. You know what else would shock me, Grace, is if he lies and said he did. And it has, like, I was talking to a friend, he said he's going to get a fake card because he'll never get the vaccine. I said, he wouldn't do that either. He wants the world to know that he doesn't need a vaccine. He doesn't think he can get hurt playing NFL football. I've discussed it with him before. He literally thinks he knows how to avoid injury, and for the most part, he's done that. I promise you, he doesn't think he's susceptible to this virus. I've already predicted it's going to be the biggest story of the summer. A storm is coming in the NFL, because it's one thing to have Leonard Fournette or Cole Beasley refusing the vaccine. It's another to have the best player ever. And if he comes out and says anything, and I've been talking to a guy in Tampa, a reporter, who's promising me as soon as they get access to him, they're going to ask him, and he'll say something. He won't say no, but he won't say yes. And
yeah.
If they said you've been vaccinated and he does not say yes, that is a no, Grace. That is a no. And we have the biggest story of the summer on our hands. And Brady is an odd duck. You know that. He's weird. He's eccentric. He does not think. He didn't wear a mask last year when they were required to wear masks on the field after the game or in the celebrations or, you know, talking to the media. He never wore a mask. You have a hard time finding a picture of him with a mask. He's not going to start now. And if he doesn't get vaccinated, the rules are tough. You got to wear a mask on the sideline, in the meetings. You can't leave your hotel room on the road. There's all kinds of restrictions which are designed to force players to get the vaccine. But Tom Brady, in this case, thinks those rules are for someone else. I'm telling you, it's going to get big.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And he's not afraid. And right now, fear in our society is a virtue. So I'm sure he's going to be the most hated man, something he's used to. But I was thinking the same thing. I have a feeling we're going to get one of those answers that's like, you know, I prefer to keep my medical information private or something. And then right then we know the answer. Jerry, where can people find you on Twitter and where can they listen to your podcast?
On Twitter, it's just at Jerry Callahan with a G, or at Callahan Podcast if you want to see. We got highlights and promo videos coming out on the Twitter feed, and you can find it everywhere. Jerry Callahan Podcast.
Great. Awesome. Thank you very much, sir. We'll hope to have you on again soon. Jerry always has great takes on sports, but also on politics. I think it's common sense takes, which we're always missing nowadays. We'll be right back on the other side. We'll take your calls, 844-500-4242. This is the Grace Curley Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the Whiskey Priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. She's got the voice of an angel.
I've been called the songbird of my generation, by people who've heard me.
It's Grace Curley.
Little Jackson 5 bringing us into this Tuesday. Pat Buchanan has a great piece out about January 6th and why the left can't let go of it. He didn't even realize what was about to happen. He didn't realize that Adam Schiff was going to cry, or try to cry. He can't cry on cue. That's one thing I could always do as an actress. I could always manage the tears. I wasn't great at fake laughing, but my cry was pretty good. Adam Schiff, not a theater major. I can tell you that right now. But Pat Buchanan breaks down why they're so obsessed, and I think he does a good job of it. And before we even get into it, Jared, Adam Schiff wasn't the only one to bring the waterworks, was he?
No, he was not. The esteemed Adam Kinzinger also.
The Adams are tearing up. Let's listen.
Thank you to our witnesses. I never expected a day to be quite as emotional for me as it has been. I've talked to a number of you and gotten to know you. I think it's important to tell you right now, though. You guys may, like, individually feel a little broken. You guys all talk about the effects you have to deal with, and, you know, you talk about the impact of that day. But you guys won. You guys held. You know, democracies are not defined by our bad days.
Oh, geez.
We're defined by how we come back from bad days.
Oh, my gosh. Did any of these people cry at the shooting of David Dorn? Did any of these people cry when all the buildings were burnt down during the Summer of Love? I'm just curious. Did any of these people cry when Rand Paul had his ribs broken and his lung collapsed? Or when Steve Scalise was shot on the baseball field at a congressional baseball practice? Did anyone cry? Did anyone even feel bad? Did anyone not tweet out something terrible about those situations where they were happy about it? These people. I hate to sound like Joe Biden, but have you no shame? I mean, it's awful. And like I said, Pat Buchanan has a great piece where he talks about how obsessed Nancy Pelosi and her minions are with this day and why. The reason why is because it's all they have left. They're banking on this for the elections. They're banking on it for the midterms specifically. And I'll read this to you on the other side. We'll play a lot of sound. I have never seen anything like this. These people need to get a grip and fast. We'll be right back. We got a lot more fun in store. 844-500-4242. Call in. We want to hear from you. This is the Grace Curley Show.
But you guys won. You guys held.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Well, April Ryan has her mask on at the White House press conference. These people are just these reporters. They're just so predictable. Masks are back. And I guess someone asked Jen Psaki, was it Peter Ducey? Asked Jen Psaki, you know, why this new decision is coming out, and we have the sound from that.
The vaccines work, which this sign says that they do. Then why do people who have had the vaccine need to now wear masks the same as people who have not had it?
because the public health leaders in our administration have made the determination based on data that that is a way to make sure they're protected, their loved ones are protected, and that's an extra step given the transmissibility of the virus that people that they're advising people.
Why don't you have a mask on right now, lady? Why you're spreading droplets of BS all over the place? Put your mask on.
So that was the most Jen Psaki way of saying, because we said so, peasant.
Because I said so, and I'm going to give you to the count of 10 to put your mask on, or so help me God, I will turn this car around, Peter Ducey. Anyway, we're talking about January 6th. The Democrats have made fools of themselves, along with a few beautiful Republicans. And it's laughable. They're crying on camera, or they're trying to cry. I'm surprised they didn't splash water on their faces, or, you know, like hold an onion up to their eyes. It's really pathetic. But Pat Buchanan has a story, why the left can't let go of January 6th. A crane operator from Tampa, Florida, his name is Paul Hodgkins, 38, pled guilty to a single count of obstructing a joint session of Congress called to confirm Joe Biden as the next president. Hodgkins entered the Senate chamber carrying a Trump 2020 flag. He committed no assault, no act of destruction, no act of violence. Yet he was sentenced to 8 months in prison by U.S. Judge Randolph Moss. Special Assistant U.S. Attorney Mona Sedke argued for a sentence of twice that length, a year and a half, a year and a half. Because as she told the judge, January 6th was genuinely an act of terrorism. Hodgkin's attorney vigorously rejected that depiction. To call January 6th domestic terrorism, said Patrick LaDuke, is offensive and gaslighting the country. It was a protest that became a riot, period, full stop. All in all, a shameful disgrace, but 1-6 was not 9-11 or Oklahoma. This is what Pat Buchanan is saying. He's talking about the riot, and he says, all in all, it was a shameful disgrace, but 1-6 was not 9-11 or Oklahoma City or Pearl Harbor or the Pulse nightclub or the Las Vegas massacre. And then he says, why did Pelosi recoil from and reject two of House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy's picks for her select committee, Representative Jim Banks of Indiana and Jim Jordan of Ohio? And it's because the deck is stacked. The fix is in. I'm glad he says that, and I'm going to take a pause from his piece here because Howie just gave me the heads up that Kevin McCarthy, House Republican leader, he actually made comments on this that, you know, the questions we should be asking. There should be an investigation, but it's not into the right people. That's the problem Pelosi has with it because Pelosi, heal thyself. She wants to start asking some real questions to get to the bottom of January 6th, which, by the way, we always got to get. Got to get to the bottom of these things, you know? We got to get to the bottom of Russia and Putin and collusion. We got to get to the bottom of the Ukraine call with Trump. We got to get to the bottom of January 6th. We never have to get to the bottom of any of Pelosi's problems, though. Those are off limits. If you bring those up, if you bring up getting to the bottom of the election fraud, hey, watch it. We will put you in jail along with the Lego guy. Don't talk about that. You will be censored, deplatformed, ostracized from community. Now, Kevin McCarthy made these points this morning, and I want to play some of this. This is Jim Jordan first. He's talking about the lack of security on January 6th, cut 28.
Why don't they want to answer the fundamental question, which is why wasn't there a better security posture on that day? Let me just read from a news account from February this year. Pelosi's office had previously impressed upon the Sergeant of Arms, Paul Irving, that the National Guard was to remain off Capitol grounds. Irving told House Administration the discussion centered around the, quote, optics. Why were the Democrats so concerned about the optics? Why were they so concerned about how it would look?
No, exactly. That's the number one question. It's hysterical. It's hysterical to have an entire investigation and not ask the most obvious question. Like, wait, you guys were offered help and you refused it? Why did that happen? And keep in mind, that same question is why Democrats voted on the second impeachment rather than call up witnesses, because they knew that that question was going to be brought up. Republicans said, all right, we'll call witnesses. We'll call up Pelosi. We'll ask her that. And then they were like, whoa, we'll vote right now. We actually already voted. It's all set. We're going to wrap this up. So that's the number one question. That would be like if the O.J. Simpson trial happened and you didn't ever go, what's her husband's name, O.J.? Should we call him? Should we ask him a couple questions? It's looking at something that is so apparent and has such obvious flaws in questions and then just totally avoiding them. And instead, what you do is you put Adam Schiff out there and he cries for a couple minutes because it's all theater. Everything the Democrats do right now, everything they do is theater. And every single thing they do, you know who it hurts? It hurts the American people. And that's what Chris Bedford wrote about. We'll get to that in a second. But Kevin McCarthy brought up the two questions that should drive this committee that has turned into a total joke. It's totally partisan. No one's going to take it seriously. Cut 29, Kevin McCarthy.
Two questions for this entire committee should be, why were we so ill-prepared for that day? And how can we make sure this never happens again? And that's what should drive the committee.
And cut 30.
Speaker Pelosi will only pick on people onto the committee that will ask the questions she wants asked. That becomes a failed committee and a failed report, a sham that no one can believe. If you want the true answers, do not be afraid of the questions that will get asked.
It's true. This is a sham of a mockery of a sham of a mockery of a sham. It's pathetic. And Jim Jordan also talked about last summer, which I think is a really valid point. You know, as much as they try to amp up January 6th and make it into, you know, the worst thing since I don't even know anymore. Is it the Civil War? Is it 9/11? You know, they throw new analogies out every day. It's hard to reconcile that with the fact that they sat in silence as a lot of cities in America burnt down and bricks were being thrown through walls or windows. And businesses were destroyed and people were killed. David Dorn, retired officer, murdered in cold blood on the street, live streamed so his grandkids saw it without even realizing it was their grandfather lying on the sidewalk. None of these people cried about it. There was no committees looking into that because they're frauds. They're absolute frauds. And I've never felt so sure of it in my life. It's a weird feeling. I know I'm only 29. But you spend so long thinking, you spend a really long time thinking, what's the end game, you know? Like, what's happening here? What am I not getting? Why can't we connect a little bit on some issues? But the more I see of Schiff and AOC and Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and even Liz Cheney, these people are all swamp creatures. Trump was 1,000% right. And he broke them. And they're so twisted with this desire to get revenge on Trump and his supporters for exposing them that they've completely lost their minds. Let's play Jim Jordan talking about this last summer. Cut 34.
It's all driven by what happened last summer, where Democrats normalized anarchy, normalized political violence, raised bail money for the very rioters and looters who destroyed small businesses, attacked innocent civilians, and maybe most importantly, attacked police officers. When you spend a year talking about defunding the police and actually defund the police, it's kind of hard to have more police here on January 6th like they should have done.
Yeah, and when Joy Reid has entire segments devoted to how awful the police are every time they kill somebody, or I shouldn't even say kill, every time they have to shoot somebody who's, a lot of these situations, it's high stress, intense situations. A lot of the people who are oftentimes killed are armed, and they're a threat. Joy Reid never seems to understand that, but she understands it in the case of shooting Ashley Babbitt. They make the exception there. They're very pro-police right now for this 30 minutes of prime time. You know, it's bringing Adam Schiff to tears, how pro-police they are. But let's go back to this Pat Buchanan, because he really breaks down exactly why Pelosi is acting the way she is. Issues, arguments, and questions Banks and Jordan would have raised would have been off-script and interrupted the agreed-upon narrative, the soap opera, the cry fest. Why are those are my words, by the way. I shouldn't throw that on Pat Buchanan. Why are Pelosi and the regime media doing everything to keep January 6th alive? What are the stakes involved? As of today, January 6th is the biggest and last best stick the Democrats have for retaining control of Congress in 2022. For if that election is not about the worst day for the GOP of the Trump years, it is going to be about the successes and failures of the first two Biden years. Ooh, I shudder to think. And what, as of today, looks to be the issues of 2022? That election will be about the worst outbreak of inflation in a quarter century to hit the U.S. economy. And just to back that up, there are a lot of people now who are talking about this inflation, despite the fact that we were told for a very long time that this was going to be, what was the word, Jared? Transitory? Well, Senator Tim Scott decided to talk about this because they're talking about, you know, passing these trillion-dollar bills. And listen to what Tim Scott had to say. Cut 10.
How do we see that? Well, we see that inflationary effect. Rental cars, 87% increase year on year. Used cars, 45%. Gas nationally, 45%. Laundry machines, they make them in Samsung in Newberry, South Carolina. A 45% increase. Airfare is 24%. Moving expenses, 17%. Hotels, 16%. Furniture, 8%.
See, all bacon, this?
God knows we love bacon, even in our pizza. 8.4%.
I had to stop there because I didn't want to interrupt bacon. I know how he would be mad at me. Yeah, the cost of bacon is up. But all those numbers that Tim Scott is listing off, those numbers aren't going to play as well as the Dems are thinking Adam Schiff's tears will play. You know, Adam Schiff's tears could wash away the price of bacon. I'm telling you right now, people care more about the price of bacon than they do about Adam Schiff's monologue at this hearing. That election will be about the worst outbreak of inflation in a quarter century to hit the U.S. economy. It will be about Biden having presided over a fourth wave of COVID-19 pandemic after having declared on July 4th our independence of the virus. It will be about the largest invasion of illegals across America's southern border in the history of the republic. 2 million a year in 2021 and again in 2022, with 300,000 of these gotaways. We talked to Jessica Vaughn about gotaways last week, if you want to check out that podcast, who evaded any contact with the Border Patrol. Among the 4 million anticipated illegals in Biden's first 2 years are child molesters, drug dealers, and unvaccinated carriers of COVID-19. Unvaccinated carriers of COVID-19 is the best case scenario. The election of 2022 will be about a wave of shootings, woundings, killings, and gun crimes in our greatest cities that have long been governed by liberal Democrats. The Democratic establishment and its media arm have a vital interest in hyping January 6th and not letting go of it. For January 6th, 2021 is their last best hope for holding power after November 8th, 2022. Great piece by Pat Buchanan. And it infuriates me because it's so obvious. I'm blown away that more people don't see this and go, oh, please. Oh, please. Stop worrying about the Lego set. Stop worrying about the, what did Jerry call him? The horned helmet guy? Stop worrying about the guy who put his feet up on Pelosi's desk. Worry about how much people are paying for groceries. You know, worry about people getting shot in New York City in the middle of the day. Worry about leaving us alone and letting us live our lives. It's insulting to everyday Americans, the stuff these people pretend to care so much about. And I'm telling you, they don't. All they care about is power. That's all they care about. And if Adam Schiff has to cry to keep his power, well, then he will break out the onions. Our friends at Eden Pure are launching a new refrigerator air purifier that is guaranteed to keep your food fresher for longer. No more frustration from opening up the fridge to find wilted and rotting food. It uses the same technology as the best-selling Thunderstorm that has sold over 100,000 units. The Eden Pure refrigerator air purifier has a rechargeable battery and goes right into your fridge to kill fungus, bacteria, and mold that rots your food. It also prevents the fridge from smelling bad, which is a great bonus, Jared.
Yes, absolutely. Baking soda is so last century. And with the price of inflation, food's going to go up. You don't want to waste your money on food that's going to rot before you can use it. And that is why you also want to get the Eden Pure fridge purifier to handle all that, as well as the smells. And I'm not going to mention somebody who works in the office's cheese because that's a sore point.
You know who we can mention, though? There's another person who works in the office, another blonde who's not me. And he brings in like all sorts of funky stuff. I'm talking fish.
Yeah, lots of fish.
That other guy, we'll call him Bowie Bar. His stuff makes my stuff smell like a dream. So this product is great for us at the office because we don't know what Howie's bringing in.
Yes, there is no longer that funky smell. And if anybody's had a shared office fridge, you understand what we're talking about. That funk that you just can't get rid of.
Yes, exactly. It's battery powered. It's smaller than a soda can. You won't even notice it. You just stick it in there. But you will notice how much better your fridge smells and how much longer your food lasts. Right now, Eden Pure is offering $10 off the lowest sale price to my listeners this week. That's right. $10 off the lowest sale price with free shipping. Keep your food fresher for longer with Eden Pure. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word GRACEFRESH. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code word GRACEFRESH. Hurry, these will sell out quickly, so don't delay. Just go right there right now and grab yourself one of these great products. We will be back on the other side. We'll take your calls, 844-500-4242. We'll talk a little bit about the Climate Corps and what job you'd want to have. You know, if you could be a civilian Climate Corps activist for the day, what job would you choose? This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
All right, quickly here, today's poll question is brought to you by CapeLily.com. 100% natural soaps, perfect for sensitive skin, handcrafted in small batches with Cape Cod sea salt. They're my favorite soaps. I always say, just buy one, and then you'll be hooked. They're that good. Buy local and save your skin with these moisturizing chemical-free soaps. It's a great company. The woman who runs it is very, very nice. I always love to support small businesses. Love your soap, love your skin. Go to CapeLily.com. That's Lily with two L's, CapeLily.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Which civilian Climate Corps job would you want? Working on coastal restoration, install rooftop solar panels, help with climate disaster recovery, or become a clean energy educator?
I'm going to say clean energy educator because I can yell at people.
Clean energy educator polling at 40%, slightly behind work on coastal restoration, which is at 42%.
Today's lesson is, have you ever used a plastic straw? Shame! That's the kind of clean energy education or educator I would be.
Have you had a hamburger? Why do you hate God?
Yeah, that kind of thing. I just want to add in here, you know what, actually we'll take a call. I was just thinking to myself, James Shaw, the kid who, the wonderful guy who saved the people in the Nashville Waffle House. I remember he cried when they were trying to call him a hero and he said, I just was trying to save myself. He got all emotional. And it was so moving, you know, it was a real, real moment. And then you look at these people like Adam Schiff and you're like, ugh, gosh. All right. I'm sorry. We're running out of time here, but hold on to the other side, the listeners. We're going to be talking about a lot. We've got Chris Bedford at 205. We have way more to talk about. I want to talk about Barbara Boxer, that situation out of California, and also a crazy story about COVID relief. You're not going to believe this, but a group of Michigan lawmakers used coronavirus relief funds for $65,000 worth of bonuses? Huh? Watch out, Texas Democrats. There's some new heroes in town. We'll be right back with Chris Bedford from The Federalist. You don't want to miss it.